Tune in as author and publisher Joshua Schmoody and renowned talk show host Susan Brinder interview authors, artists, business entrepreneurs, political activists, musicians, and academics to discuss what it means to live the high life. A life of total abundance, joy, passion, and fulfillment. A life where your dreams become realities through the empowering medium of knowledge. Learn something new from book publishing and product distribution, public relations, to politics, psychology, and philosophy. If real-world knowledge interests you, then tune in and start living your higher life today. Hi, I'm Joshua Schmoody, and I'm here with my co-host, Susan Brinder, and welcome to another episode of High Life, a show where you can start living your best life now through the empowering medium of knowledge. And today we have a very special guest. We have Mr. Alex Phillips. Mr. Alex Phillips, are you there?
Yes. Hi. How's it going?
It's going good, Alex. How are you?
Not too bad. It's a little chilly and damp here in Virginia, but it's the winter.
Yeah, it's snowing here in Michigan.
Yeah, well, the two of you actually should come to Florida, where the weather is about 80 degrees, sunny and gorgeous. But, listen, not everybody has the opportunity to do it. But, Alex, we had so many different discussions, and I am so pleased that now we can talk about the media, because I've been part of the media for many, many years, and I know what the media does. And I know one of the things that the media does is they try to get ratings. That's what their purpose is. The more ratings they get, the better the opportunity for them to get advertising. And as a result, they say things that are really biased. And I'm curious what you think about this. And how do you really change the mindset of different stations like MSNBC, CNBC, Fox, all these different things that say, oh, we're all about entertainment. But the truth of the matter is that people listen to them all the time and they get tremendous ratings. So tell us a little bit about what your thoughts on this subject is, if you will.
Well, people get their information from where they get it. Okay. In the old days, it was, in the morning with a cup of coffee with your buds, or at the water cooler during the your break at work, and in the I guess in the late 90s there was this trend, the Daily Show on the Comedy Central. It was obviously a comedy show, but people got their news and information. People were right. Learning about what was going on from Jon Stewart, even though he was trying to make fun. But inevitably, that's where people got their information. And so the news is pretty boring sometimes, stats, how many people died today, how many trees burned down, how many cars crashed, right. So they try to jazz it up a little bit, and they do this thing called the narrative. And the narrative is like a story, because people like to hear stories. That's, we've been listening to stories since we were children, and that's what keeps our attention. That's how we become engaged with people. And so, the way that a lot of media outlets go is they go with the direction that their advertisers like. The advertisers like to see people watching the shows and making people engaged and want to watch more of their shows and become reliant on them as being the sole source, is their whole focus in life, so that they can get more advertisers.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. And you know something? Yeah, and the interesting thing is that when I worked for television, a lot of the people that I worked with, because of the sort of the way MSNBC and CNBC dealt with stories, they either were on the side, if you will, which was very liberal with those stations. And then when they had to or were given a chance to work for Fox, as an example, suddenly they were conservative in their approach to the news. And that's go ahead, Josh.
Oh, I'm sorry, Susan. One thing I wanted to mention too, with the media, and let me know what your thoughts are about this, Alex. They tend to like cater to their sponsors. So if you look at a lot of the commercials on some of the mainstream news channels, it's all drug companies. It's all drug commercials. So of course they're not going to run news stories and talk about alternative health or talk about, you know what I'm saying, anything that could cut into the profits of the people that are paying to advertise on their slots. So, I mean, could you kind of give us some thoughts on that, Alex, and why, you know what I'm saying, the sponsorship aspect and how that leads to the biasness, I think?
Well, it's, you know, it's not just that. I mean, obviously you don't want to, you know, have your number one sponsor being, you know, some kind of cholesterol pharmaceutical company, and then you do news story after news story about natural ingredients that can resolve cholesterol, high cholesterol problems, because it just doesn't make sense, right? Obviously, you know, the business manager says, well, gosh, you know, don't do a bunch of, you know, car crash stories, and Ford is our sponsor. You know, it's been, you know, going on for decades. It's obviously, you know, Madison Avenue mentality, you know, let's always shine the best light on the topic so we can make the most of the time that people are watching our show. So, you know, is it right? Is it wrong? It just is, you know, and it has an effect. The problem is that the people that watch these shows don't seem to engage that they're being, you know, manipulated, so to speak. They're just sort of like staring at the TV. You know, people watch the boob tube and they turn into zombies, and that's where they get their information. And, you know, we're seeing a lot of this now. Obviously, you know, people are reliant on the emotions that they get. They want to be fed something to make them feel a certain way. And yeah. So you look at MSNBC and people want to be reassured that their perception of Donald Trump being, you know, orange man bad is confirmed, and their position, because people always want to be on the right side. Same with Fox. So Fox is like, they're doing the same thing. People want to know that, you know, the FISA abuse is real and people are going to pay, because that makes me feel better knowing that justice will be served. And that's how it is on both sides. People, you know, I don't know if, you know, people say, you know, they're evil or they're, you know, they're good. You know, I don't know if it's necessarily a situation like that. People just pick their sides and where they believe, and they want to be reassured. They want to be reconfirmed. They want to be told that they're right. And that's mm-hmm. done through emotional feelings. People are, you know, we're just humans. You know, we thrive right. off of emotions.
Well, that also leads me to the whole notion of what's going on with regard to the impeachment and how the news is like taking advantage of using every single solitary idea about whether he should be impeached, our president, or not. And it's like it's kind of a sad situation when the news spends so much time on something like that, when there's so much going on in the world. What do you think about what's going on with regard to the impeachment?
Well, at this particular time, I think the larger media companies, you know, your CNN's and all the AT&T owned media outlets and CBS's and ABC's, I think, are doing a great disservice to the public. I mean, you know, we're watching this movie, so to speak, and, you know, half of the people in the audience are seeing something totally different than the other half. And it's because of the way the story is being told. I mean, I understand, you know, I'm not a lawyer and I don't even play one on TV, but I understand what extortion means. I understand what bribery means. You got one person who wants something, another person who has something, and you offer them a deal that may be corrupt, and you work it out. Extortion is the same thing, except it's a little more negative. But here you got a person, the president and of the United States, and you got the other side, the person that was supposedly extorted and misused and abused, the president of the Ukraine. And they're not, they're you know, one has the transcripts of his, of what he said. The other person is the person that was the target of the extortion or the bribery. And, you know, nothing's being confirmed. And everybody's in the news keeps using words like that treat the situation like some kind of criminal organization is going on. And so the public inevitably who's listened to Chris Matthews or listening to MSNBC or any of the news outlets, you know, for decades is starting to say, well, they're using these words. You know, they're using, uh-huh. you know, criminal organization, they're using extortion, bribery, you know, the focus group words. And that gets people emotionally riled up about this situation, and they don't like it because, you know, they don't know who to trust anymore. And,
wow.
you know, I don't watch the news anymore. I mean, I catch a story every once in a while on Fox, on YouTube, or you know, I might be sitting in front of them. I'll catch the beginning of the national news, and I hear what they say, and I'm like, you know, I'm not listening to these people anymore. I read everything that's been going on. I watched the hearings because that's straight. You know, there's no filter uh-huh. there. Obviously, you know, the Democrats are pushing a narrative that they're going to keep pushing and they're never going to change. And the Republicans are countering it. But I'm just so disappointed in some of the anchors. You know, I watched somebody on PBS the other day. You know, they're supposed to be, you know, pretty much agnostic politically, but they are not. They're very siding with the Democrats in this particular case, which is very unfortunate because, you know, they're using terms like the Republicans, if they don't have facts, they focus on, you know, the process, which, you know, the Republicans have been focusing on a lot of process because that's really the basis for everything in our sure. Democratic Republic is due process. You know,
right.
Everything is based on that process that it seems to have evaporated because, you know, one side hates Trump and feels like the ends justify the means, and the other side is doing the best they can to defend the situation.
Yeah.
One thing I wanted to ask about, one was what your thoughts are on the impeachment from your own opinion, you know, media aside. Do you think that these are grounds for impeachment, et cetera, et cetera? But two, one thing I've noticed in my 33 years on this earth is the double standard of justice in this country. If you are rich and you've got a lot of money, I mean, look at the college scandal. I mean, they scammed millions and millions of dollars and they got like 2 weeks in a federal resort prison. Please, if a poor person would have done that, if somebody out of Section 8 housing would have done that, guess what? You would have been in prison for 10, 20, 30 years. I mean, they got people doing life for marijuana in some states. But yet these people that are stealing millions of dollars from us are getting just a slap on the wrist. I mean, so with those two questions, what are your thoughts about that, Alex? I mean, one, the impeachment, but two, this sort of double standard in justice between the rich and the poor. There is no equality. You know, it's like if you've got the money, you can get away with murder. If you don't have the money, you're going to get the book thrown at you.
I think that President Trump had an obligation to investigate corruption in Ukraine. Obviously, they were the most corrupt country in Europe, and they rank pretty high worldwide. There was a lot of things that went on during the 2016 election that we're all aware of. I don't believe that because Joe Biden is running for president that he should be given a pass. You know, people were talking about that for the past 2 years that, you know, you run for president and, you know, that means that you must be guilty of something now because, you know, you're trying to protect yourself with this shield. And now we're seeing it happen in real time. There's been many stories regarding what happened with the Ukraine and Hunter Biden's involvement. You know, Joe Biden went on TV and, you know, basically bragged about his quid pro quo. I mean, and the media is not at all addressing this issue. I'm seeing a lot of stories coming out of One America News now. Those people have been hounding what's going on in the Ukraine and what happened in the past and uncovering so much information. And none of the rest of the media is lifting a finger to investigate this because they don't want to lend any credibility to it. Right. And, you know, the narrative that you know, the Republicans don't believe the Russians interfered with the 2016 election, and they're focusing on this conspiracy theory that the Ukrainians did, is also ridiculous, because the media knows that that's not true. I, as a citizen, know that ever since election interference existed, that the Russians and the Chinese and the Italians and the British and everybody's been interfering with the United States elections since they could. I mean, it's just, you know, we have interfering, you know, the Time magazine article, we interfered with the Russians elections and got Boris Yeltsin elected. I mean, come on. You know, they just took a story. They took a situation that exists. It's like, you know, hey, let's talk about impeaching the president, because today the sun came up and he talked about it yesterday. He was talking about it at dinner time, that he was going to get somebody to get the sun to come up. And, you know, he's abusing his power. But everybody knows the sun comes up every day. And it's no different. The Russians interfere with our elections. The Chinese interfere with our elections. We interfere with everybody else's elections. It's a never-ending interfering storm. And, you know, the fact that they use this story for the basis of a 2.5-3 year long drama is a joke. And to say that it was a witch hunt is, I think, falls short of what it was. I think it was criminal, to give you a better word of it, because I think that people are starting to see what happened. They used a story that everybody knew existed and they magnified and they amplified. That's the thing that the media does these days, is they'll take something, you know, election interference, which went on for, you know, decades by the Russians, was a very small story, and they amplified it in 2016.
Yeah. Well, you know, they're always looking for stories, Alex. I mean, if it's not one thing, it's another thing. And they're always pounding an issue when it becomes a little popular. But I'm curious about this. What do you attribute the fact that so many people hate Trump? I mean, we've had president
He's
after president.
He's easy not to like. He's easy not to like. I mean, let's just face it. I mean, he's rich. Most of us aren't, so we don't like the rich people. He's a smart ass. Pardon my French.
Blunt.
And people don't like that. You know, he's an easy person not to like, unless you got to know him. And if you knew him personally, you wouldn't have a problem with that. And that's the problem with, you know, people always base their opinions on first impressions. And so, you know, what was the first impression that I had with Donald Trump? Well, I think it was The Apprentice, you know, and he was somebody you didn't like in The Apprentice.
Yeah.
You know, you could take, you know, Ronald Reagan, when he became president, you know, people knew him from his movies. He was a very likable character. But if you take, you know, the average, you know, villain in movies today, somebody's been typecast as a villain or a, you know, somebody that the people just don't like, maybe a really great guy, personality wise, everybody loves him. If he was running for president, people wouldn't like him because of their first impressions, but he's an easy target for that. And then when the media, you know, again, the trusted agent of the public confirms that your initial opinion of him is real, then it becomes cemented, and then it becomes a foundation for everything else that you build off of that person. I mean, it's human nature that people react to you based on their first impression. And so if you know, the whole thing about, you know, I have a beard, right? And people don't trust people with beards, but if I had a snidely whiplash mustache with the wax and everything else, then I'm really a bad guy. Right?
Yeah.
But I know a lot of guys with those kind of mustaches, and they're nice guys, and they're not bad guys. It's just a fashion statement.
You know, in the 19th century, when people were listening or actually participating in the elections at that time, there was also an impeachment going on with Johnson. But today, we have all the social media, and so the exposure to all of the opinions that people have, which and the news is, as you said, it's not particularly positive stuff. We have to deal with this social media. So when you look at the way people are responding on social media to all the things that are going on, doesn't that make you say, wow, I wish that social media would pay more attention to the actual subjects or the things that he's doing to help society? For example, our economy is going so well. Why aren't people paying more attention to that?
It's not being amplified. And, you know, the court of public opinion is a terrible place to be. I've posted this on Twitter. I said, you know, people need to, you know, court of public opinion is the worst place because there's no facts. It's all opinions. And so people will draw the conclusions based on their experiences, and they will make judgment based on how they've deduced these experiences unfold in the current event. And it's just a terrible place to be. And that's why, you know, you got to let the justice system, you got to let the, again, we're back to due process. You know, the process of due process is not perfect, obviously. If it was, you know, we would be living in a different universe, I believe. You know, we all don't know what is and what is not. All we can do is work with what we have. So, you know, due process is, you know, one side makes their case, the other side makes their case. An impartial jury takes the facts and comes to determination, or a judge in this case sometimes makes a determination based on what they've been told. And even that is not perfect, because we've got, you know, people in jail today that are innocent, and they get, you know, you hear stories about them later. So, but the process is the best process, because it allows for both sides to make their arguments to an impartial, you know, unbiased entity to come up with an outcome that in most cases is the right outcome, but in some cases is not. But when you throw emotional feelings, public opinion, you know, stories that are not necessarily true, and then people then connect that, those dots based on, it just never turns out right. You know, people have been lynched because of this type of stuff in the past. And it's not, I'm not talking about, you know, black people being lynched. I'm talking about anybody. You know, guy gets accused of, you know, doing something and he didn't do it, and everybody's all fired up, or they've been drinking or whatever else, and they throw a rope on the tree and then he's gone. And all of a sudden, you know, miscarriage of justice occurs. And that's what's happening today. You know, President Trump is being lynched in the court of public opinion by thousands of people on a daily basis based on, you know, untrue, partially true, misinterpreted information. Now, I'm not saying that he's an angel. I'm not saying he's, the second coming by any means. You know, people have accused Trump supporters of being a cult. You know, I find that offensive. You know, I am not a cult follower. I do not believe in any of that stuff. I believe in facts. And, you know, like I've told people before, some things I don't agree with, you know, that he's done. And I, you know, I've made my positions. But overall, I think that, you know, pulling the reins back on all this stuff we're doing all over the world, you know, paying for NATO on the backs of the taxpayers, you know, on the backs of, with the lives of our military, you know, all these things, you know, I think it's time that we, you know, we start, you know, remembering that this is a country, that we're a sovereign nation, that we have, you know, we have our own citizens that need our help. We've got homeless problems. We've got homeless veterans. We got just regular homeless people. We've got drug problems. We've got, you know, we got everything that a complex society has. And we just need to kind of, you know, remember that, you know, we can't just be saving the world all the time and spending all our money for that. We need to, you know, look at home.
You know, it's interesting. Well, one thing I was going to interject here too is interesting you say that with the problems that we have. Because I think you're completely right, Alex. We've got the largest prison population per capita on Earth. We've got a huge homeless problem right now. I mean, we've got a bunch of problems that we need to address as a nation that have been going on for a long time, and we've never really sat down and debated this and addressed this type of stuff. We've got this huge college loan debt. I mean, we've got just a bunch of issues that are impacting our daily lives, and we're trying to police the rest of the world. And I just don't think that that's doable. But one thing I wanted to ask in terms of American Priority, what do you think is going to be happening next for American Priority with all of this going on?
Well, our main goal is to try to help and foster the alternative media. You know, this doesn't have to be conservative media, but it's just alternative media because, you know, like we said earlier in this discussion, you know, the problem with the big media companies is they seem to be so beholden to the dollar, the advertiser dollar. And so that means that their bias can be misdirected based on this information. Or if somebody gets to, you know, talks about an issue, then the boycotts start. And so, you know, it's these big companies, they can be impacted by millions and millions of dollars when these things happen. So the alternative media, small media, you know, we've got hundreds and thousands of people out there, you know, reporting on issues, talking about opinions, just like what we're doing today, and giving people a different position is so important. And so we're going to be launching our foundation. We're going to be at CPAC. It's not an organized thing at CPAC, but we're just going to be there in DC at the end of February. And we're going to be meeting with folks and letting them know about our foundation. But the foundation's primary mission is education. So we're not trying to become a media empire so that we can then become part of the problem. We're trying to foster and support the small media outlets that are, you know, trying to grow and find solutions to those things. So, you know, the common solutions are, you know, the deplatforming of people, the demonetization, the censorship. And so we think we can overcome these things by fostering these things. So we're going to be at CPAC with our foundation. Our next big event, we're going to try to focus on recognizing what we call the real news. And that's the people that are out there giving it out, doing the investigations. And we're going to have the real news roast in Washington, D.C. The location hasn't been determined yet, but it's going to be on April 25th. And we're going right up against the White House Correspondents Association night. We feel like that they're doing their thing. We're going to do our thing. But we're going to recognize the different levels of media, news media out there today, all the way from the small-time blogger, video, YouTuber, Periscoper, to the over-the-top level paywall type news outlets like OAN and Blaze, up to, you know, the Madison Avenue style media outlets like Fox. But basically anybody that's been out there doing a good report is going to get recognized. But the twist is that we're going to roast them Dean Martin style, or we're going to go old school on them, because, you know, don't take yourself too seriously. You're not all that. If you're reporting good news and information, we are very happy, but you're not, you know, you don't consider yourself untouchable. And we're going to make fun of our own, right? We're going to make fun of ourselves and have a good time doing that. And but we're going to recognize people and try to raise some awareness to the need for supporting these small outlets so that they can grow and continue, you know, providing news, information. But the key is alternative. You know, more alternative is what we need.
I think that's wonderful, yeah. Man. With the internet, that's exactly what I think we've gotten, is we've gotten so much more alternative news. Mainstream news can no longer control the narrative. And that is so awesome, because it's been like that for too long. You do have the added risk with some alternative medias that don't fact check their stories and they're just spewing lies out there. But on the main, I think alternative media is doing a very good service for us and our country, for sure.
Which leads me to ask you, so that our audience understands a little bit more about American Priority and how they can get in touch with you, how they can participate in any event that you have. Let our audience know a little bit more about American Priority, if you will.
Well, we formed this organization back in 2018. I came from internet technology industry. Basically, you know, companies like mine brought internet services to a lot of people in the rural areas. And so we were the gateway, so to speak, for a lot of the red states, red counties, which to get on the internet, but just in general, letting people get access to the internet. And I've seen since the early 90s how the internet technology has changed. I come from association that advocated for small business in DC with the FCC and the Hill. And then I left that and decided to start up this new organization. We had our first event last year in DC. Really wasn't that great, but it was the first year. This year we had our second event in Florida. Big improvement. A lot of people came. We're going to have our next event next year. Also in Florida, probably at the same venue. Hope to see it grow. But we're also going to have lots of other little events. So we're going to just keep doing stuff. So our website is AmericanPriority.com. We're going to be updating that website pretty soon. The foundation website will be announced from there as well. And that'll be a separate organization. That'll be a 501c3 educational group. We're not going to be promoting any political ideology. We're just going to be focusing on things that are important, like free speech, and focusing on America first, but not alone in this planet that we live on.
Yeah. Well, our guest today has been Alex Phillips, who is the head of American Priority, an organization that really wants to educate the public as much as they can with regard to politics and various other subjects. And I thank you so much, Alex, for being on our show, High Life, and I hope that we can have you back to talk a little bit more about the press and what's going on. And I want to also say that if there is any material that you have, can it be available to the public as well? Any articles that you've written or other different things that, or books or things that nature?
Well, we've got all our videos that I've put out for the past 2 years on our YouTube page. It's also the American Priority YouTube page, and it's got videos from our last event and interviews that I've done. I've done some interviews with some folks like Simona Papadopoulos specifically. She doesn't get a whole lot of attention out there in the media because she wasn't the one that went to jail, but she knows so much about some of the side stories. So I've done some interviews with her and Ricky Rebel and other folks like that. But yeah, that's everything at our YouTube channel for American Priority.
There you go. All right. Well, give us a little close, Josh, because this has been a very interesting and enlightening show. And I'm so pleased that Alex has been our guest today.
Yeah, thank you so much for coming on, Alex. We really appreciate it. It's always a thought-provoking show when you're on.
Well, my pleasure.
Good
deal. I look forward to being on again soon.
Yeah, we're going to have you back on again. I'll talk to you about that after the show. Anyway, guys, thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of High Life. Remember, knowledge is power. Take care.
The High Life show and media by which it is distributed hold no responsibility for the validity or accuracy of information on this site. Listeners and viewers are advised to seek the input of a professional whom represent the subject before acting on any information or advice. The High Life show and media by which it is distributed hold no responsibility for the validity or accuracy of information on this site or podcast. Listeners and viewers are advised to seek the input of a professional whom represents the subject before acting on any information or advice. Thank you.